Good morning. It is a nice day. We're enjoying today before we get into the winter months. Enjoy the bright sun and the warm weather while we've got it. Beautiful words and wonderful words. What were some of the last words that Jesus spoke according to the Gospel of Matthew? It's a little bit different than Mark, Luke, and John. John's different altogether, but Matthew, there's something at the end of Matthew, the last verses, that are some of Jesus' wonderful words before he is ascended back into heaven. With you always. I'm thinking of the last two verses. They say, "Go therefore into all the world, into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the age." The Great Commission, as we sometimes call it, of our Lord. There are many aspects of that that are extremely important. But there's a unifying subject to that entire process of the Great Commission. Certainly, there is a need for our Lord. We have a need for His love. We have a need to think about all of those things. But there's one word that I'm going to bring out of that Great Commission to talk about this morning. And that word is teach. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." I think that word teach is critical to the process. You teach to make disciples, and then you teach to grow disciples. All of our lives should be involved in a process of being taught relative to our Lord. At the end of what seemed to be at least to him, a very long day, first day at school, a little boy came home to his mother, and he was asked by his mother, saying, "Did you have a good day at school today, son? What did you learn on your first day of school?" Well, the little boy was kind of discouraged. Looked up at his mom and said, "Mom, I don't know. But apparently I didn't learn enough because I got to go back tomorrow." There is a tomorrow nature of our education spiritually, where God is concerned, that we need to embrace as Christians, each and every one of us. Whatever we know today, we need to know more tomorrow. Whatever we are instructed in now, we need to also give ourselves more diligently to tomorrow and in the days to come. Not just additional information, although we need to add additional information, but we also need to find ways to make application, new ways to make inroads and application to the things that we learned yesterday in our lives. Education is at the core of everything we're about as children of God. Our Sunday school, our Bible school program, is just one means of obeying the command of God and helping with discipleship. We have classes every Sunday morning, we have classes Sunday afternoon, and we have classes on Wednesdays as well. Some of those are designed for little kids. Some of those are designed for middle school and high school age kids. Some of those are designed for adults. We have all kinds of Bible school programs to help us develop as disciples. Parents, how you feel about going to Bible school will very likely be what your kids think about Bible school. They're not going to come up with a completely different concept of Bible school than what you already have. So if you think it's important and you're setting the example, it's going to be amazing how the kids will follow along in that very same attitude. What about as a congregation? A congregation who loves the Bible will not be able to be kept from studying it, no matter how great or how small the ability of the teacher is. We're very blessed here at Riverside Road to have a quality group of teachers, both in our men that teach publicly and our women that teach in classes as well downstairs. We are blessed to have a quality group of teachers all about, dedicated to His service, worthy of honor. But those teachers are just the voice, aren't they? They are not the message. And we are always to give allegiance to our God for that. We're going to talk about four things this morning when it comes to education. We need to, first of all, promote the love of learning. Promote the love of learning, number one. Psalms 119, verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And later in the chapter, in verse 103, he says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." The word disciple itself literally means what? A follower or a learner. Someone who learns. Someone who has come to a fellowship, as Dwayne put it. That is their part, that is their relationship with God. They are a follower, a learner. It is suggestive of instruction. I want to know of Jesus. I want to be with Him. And I want to be more like Him. But what does it take to know Jesus? It takes a knowledge of the Bible, a knowledge of His Word, of the Scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' oh, I know you, Lord. Not all those people shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Each of us needs to rekindle a love of learning and a love of learning of the Lord. You may have heard the old story about Socrates, who was the great philosopher. When a man came to Socrates one day, he told him, "I have traveled over 1,500 miles for the singular purpose of being in your presence, Socrates, and gaining wisdom and knowledge from you." To which Socrates responded, "Follow me." So the two of them went out into the bay that was close thereby, and they went out about waist deep in the water. And all of a sudden, Socrates grabbed this man by the neck and he pushes his head down in the water and he holds him under and he holds him under and he holds him under till he could feel that he was beginning to lose fight and that he was giving up. He took him to the edge and he brought him back. And he dragged him sputtering and spewing to the shore. And as the man lay there on the ground trying to recover from what he thought was a sure loss of his life, Socrates said, "When you were under the water, what was the only thing that you could think of? What did you want more than anything else?" And the man said, "Well, air. I needed air to breathe." Socrates replied to him, "When you want knowledge and understanding as much as you want air, you won't have to ask anybody to give it to you. You'll get it yourself." Now, that's a rather extreme illustration, but spiritually, we need a desire like that for an education from the Lord. We need to want to know about Christ, so much so that it's like air to us that we have to breathe. It's the only thing we think of and the only thing that we want. And not just that we have to go and get it from somebody, some wise, educated person, although it's good to hear people who have studied so much present information about the Lord, but we've also got this right here. If we want it so bad, it's right in front of us, ready to read and ready to understand the Word. There is a place for a preacher. There is a place for a teacher. There is a place for all the various people who are engaged in the services that we hold here at our congregation and other congregations around the world as they're meeting today. And there is the personal Bible that each of us have access to that we can study in and learn from just as much as we want to. And that's exactly the kind of energy that God seeks for us to have. Number one was promote the love of learning. Number two, we need to promote the learning of facts. Promote the learning of facts. We need, after discussion and opinions like we have in our Sunday school class, to always have a "Thus saith the Lord" for our study. What I think must always bow to what he says. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Paul tells Timothy, "You must continue, Timothy, in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Did Timothy learn those things by himself? Or did he have a little bit of help? He had instruction. He had instruction at home, and that helped to make that process happen. It's in these formative stages of our kids that parents and adults need to be very serious about instilling these messages and facts of Christ that will last for a lifetime. The facts, of course, must be applied. Just because a young child can regurgitate a particular passage doesn't necessarily mean that it's being applied in their lives. We know that. But there is no hope of application unless there is knowledge of that verse to start with. So let's make sure that we have the proper understanding of each of the facts. And then when there is that proper use of facts, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "We study to show ourselves approved and learn those facts, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." And then how do we apply them? We rightly divide them. We rightly divide the word of truth. In Acts chapter 17, verses 2 and 3, Paul, as his custom was, went in to them for three Sabbaths, and he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Dwayne's been teaching us a class about Paul establishing the congregation at Ephesus, and how he went there in the beginning, he stayed for a short time and left, and then he returned and stayed anywhere from 2 to 3 years with the Ephesians, this metropolis of education and learning in Asia. Both Jews and Gentiles were there, and it was the city of the goddess Diana at that time. And he spent 3 years trying to establish that congregation and bring them out of that worldly knowledge of this polytheistic life and bring them into a unifying understanding of a monotheistic approach under the one God and Father who we still worship today. But Paul spent day after day in the school of Tyrannus teaching these people and showing them. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us that we have to rightly divide, and then Acts 17:2-3 says that he reasoned with them daily from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." There in Thessalonica, Paul was talking about the opportunity to spend time with people and reasoning with them from the Scriptures. Not reasoning with them from the current philosophy of the day. Not reasoning with them from a great poem or a great story. And yes, I like to use stories, but do stories and poems lead us to heaven? Those stories and poems may help to clarify some things or give us a different understanding, but those stories in and of themselves, they don't get us to heaven. They don't lead us there. It's the Scriptures that do that. It says that he reasoned from the Scriptures to the Thessalonians. And it's in those Scriptures that we also find salvation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Something as all-encompassing as God's Word needs to be all-encompassing relative to our lives. So there's one and two. Number three, we need to promote the learning of people. We need to learn about people, of their nature, and of their thoughts. If you're going to be successful as a messenger of Christ, you need to know your product. But also you need to know your customer, don't you? We need to know something about individuals, something about the nature of people, if we want to connect with them and have them understand the will of the Lord. It's interesting, in John chapter 2, verse 25, we read that it says that Jesus knew what was in man. in other scriptures, we realize that the Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to catch him in points about the law. And it said that he knew their heart and he knew their thoughts, what they were getting at. But there in John chapter 2, verse 25, it says that Jesus knew what was in man. You know, sometimes we offer answers to questions that aren't being asked and fail to answer the questions that are. Our teaching needs to be relevant. We don't need to change the Bible to make it relevant. We just need to apply it correctly to people. Think about all the conversion accounts in the book of Acts. Conversions of Jews, conversions of Gentiles. People that lived in the city, people that lived in the country, people that were rich and people that were poor. Was it a different story of Christ that was given to each of these people? It was the same story, but it was applied a little bit different to each of the people based on their background, if they were Jew or Gentile, based on their education, based on their understanding that they already had. And Paul applied that in many different areas. And likewise, the gospel comes to each of us in a different nature. We're not all the same, but the good thing is we're all going to the same destination, and that's what the gospel will do. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 22. He says, I have become all things to all men, that I might by some means, that I might by all means save some. Does that mean that Paul was wishy-washy? That he changed the gospel, or that he changed his message every time he went to a new town or a new village to preach? It doesn't say that at all. He didn't say, let's believe what you want to and everyone will wind up in heaven in the end. That's the devil's doctrine. We've got to believe what God says, not what man says. And we're not open to simply choose what we wish. Having said that, there's a connection with people that Paul understood very well. He was a people's man. And we need to understand it as well. There's the old saying that all of us have heard, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it's in that caring aspect that you are reaching into their lives where they are and showing an interest in their lives, showing some compassion, showing some connection, showing some commonality so that a conversation can begin. I think that that's what Paul is talking about here. And it's in that learning of people that we become a learner of how to be like Jesus. Jesus was the master of knowing people. He was the master teacher because he was the master of relationships. He knew exactly how the message was going to land on the people that heard it. He knew exactly what was needed to convince, to rebuke. He knew exactly where they were in their station of life. Now, granted, he had a little advantage being the Son of God. But we also can learn a little bit about people if we'll just take the time to spend with them, to learn about them, to hear them and hear their story. It may well make the process of education that much more successful of a process. And lastly, we need to promote the position of teacher. Promote the position of teacher. We are thankful for all of our teachers here. And as we're getting ready to develop our classes for 2013, we are seeking others to step forward and contribute to the framing of the minds here. And as the quarters go by, I hope that you will take opportunity to teach each and every day of your life. Teaching formally in our Sunday school or our Bible school classes is very important, and we really need your help. But we also need you to be sharing the message with that person you sat by next to at work, or that person at school that you sit next to, or that person that's across the street from you in your neighborhood. None of that is part of our formal Bible school curriculum here as a congregation, but that is exactly how the message of Christ goes forth with the Great Commission. It's reaching out and planting and scattering seed wherever we are in all of our circumstances. And if you don't do that in your life, there's not another person in your life to do that. Have you ever thought about that? If you don't share the gospel, who's going to do it on Sterling Court? Dwayne, if you or Theta don't share the gospel, who there on Hartley Street is going to do it? What about on Reno Hollow, Bob? If you don't take the opportunity, is there another Bob that lives on Reno Hollow that's going to talk to his neighbor? If you don't do it, there's a whole segment of your world that you live in, of your circumference and influence, that will be lost. Because you didn't take the opportunity to tell somebody. Only you live in your neighborhood. And only you work in your job. And only you go to school where you're at. If you don't take that opportunity, it's lost. 2 Timothy chapter 2:2 says, "The things which you have learned from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Timothy, you go and share the good news, said Paul. That's in contrast to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, where he says, "For by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk, and not solid food. You've been regressing instead of progressing." Someone once said, "If we work upon marble, it perishes. If upon brass, time will deface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble into dust. But if we work upon immortal minds and imbue them with principles, with the just fear of God and the love of our fellow man, we engrave on those tablets something that will brighten to all of eternity." And that is so true. Building lives through education of God's Word is what it's all about. At 9:30 on Sunday mornings and 6 o'clock, and again on Wednesdays at 7 p.m., classes will be held. The Bible will be taught. Those are not questions. The question is, will you be here? Will you be a part of that aspect of Bible education? We urge you to be. The elders, the leadership here, sets aside these times because it's needed for the congregation. We urge you to think about the knowledge that can be gained and the perspective that you can have about God's plan for your life. And yes, the example that is being provided for your family. Have you begun your discipleship this morning? In Mark's account, Mark chapter 16, verse 16, we read, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned." Isn't it time you started to be a disciple and to learn of the Lord? We invite you as we stand and sing.
946. If you are tired of the load of your